A storm. I think Jones and I can use the craft to act as a cavalry arm to our attack, AJ explained. We'll keep the two heavy mechs in the back as reinforcements. Rambo and Jael will act as our artillery. Do you think that'll be enough? Rambo asked. They won't be expecting a craft like this making strafing runs on them, much less led by a pair of non-robotic soldiers, AJ shrugged. That, along with the sniper cover you'll be able to provide, might be enough to turn the tide of the battle.
There's a lot that could go wrong there, but you know I didn't join up to play it safe, Jones shrugged. I'm in with you all the way to the grave, brother.
I know you are, AJ said.
We'll talk with Unit 2 and get some kind of sniper rifle working before the fight begins, Jael said confidently. We're gonna get Remy back safe and sound, and then I'm gonna knock him out, Rambo added.
Yeah, get in line, AJ said. Unit 2571, along with Unit 2, approached the group.
Our army is ready to begin the assault, Unit 2571 said. We wait on your command.
Good, we're ready as well, AJ said to the pair of mechs. This is what we're gonna do.
Chapter 22 AJ Unit 2571 piloted the craft with Marine Space Corps 2, Jael, and Unit 2 as passengers. The craft was actually just a slightly larger version than the one AJ had been in before with Remy and Unit 2. The enclosed craft's front section had 6 seats for the pilot, co-pilot, and 4 passengers. Behind this area, the craft extended into a small open area. It was here Rambo, Jael, and Unit 2 worked on deconstructing a much larger Imperial Coalition weapon and reconstructing its parts to create a weapon for Rambo and Jael. Unit 2571 sat in the pilot seat. It was silent as it maneuvered the craft over the bleak landscape. AJ and Jones sat behind Unit 2571, studying the terrain. Like most of the planet they had seen thus far, the ground was covered with snow. Dark clouds rolled overhead, heavy with their next deposit for the planet of Dextrax. Unfortunately, it was a lot of open ground leading through the enemy fortress. This was yet another reason the Civil War had gone on for so long. The lack of cover made every conflict with the two factions more like ancient battles, where the warriors met each other on an open plain. The Imperial Coalition followed on the ground below the craft. The mechs were able to move at incredible speeds, sprinting over the snow-laden topography. Unit 2571 kept just ahead of the main mechanized force.
Have you used these crafts in battle with the Pritory before? AJ asked their pilot. Have you used the cloaking shields in war?
Yes, to both of your questions,
Unit 2571 said without turning his head.
The crafts proved futile. Even when we mounted weapons to them, our foundry was better spent making more and improved mechanized soldiers. The cloaking tech we both possess is one each side is unable to detect, but has failed us in combat. But don't worry, your brother should be undetectable to the Pritory.
Why's that? AJ asked.
He's so small. He should be able to sneak in where we have failed before,
Unit 2571 answered.
He should be fine.
Yeah, it's the should-be part that has me worried, AJ said under his breath.
Here we go, Jones said,
staring from his seat out the front window.
Contact 12 o'clock.
AJ followed his friend's gaze. Sure enough, barely discernible in the distance, a mountain range took shape. The jagged mountains in the distance were menacing. Large chunks of rock showed out from the snow-laden face. Although AJ couldn't make out the Pritory Fortress just yet, it was clear to see this was a compound well-guarded and perfectly placed to be near impenetrable.
Scanners are picking up ground troops, Unit 2571 said.
How we doing back there? AJ asked, turning in his seat. Unit 2, along with Rambo and Jael, were in seated positions working various parts of metal.
Almost there, Rambo answered. At least I think so.
Orders? Unit 2571 asked.
We don't want to engage yet, so keep us out of firing range, AJ answered. Get us as close as you can. Can you enhance the images we see?
Affirmative, Unit 2571 said. It pulled the craft to the left in a sharp turn, ending their forward momentum. A screen popped to life on the larger windshield, showing them a view of what was to their left.
Son of a cyborg, Jones said,
as the smaller screen gave them an enhanced view of the enemy lines. The Praetori were very similar to the Imperial Coalition in almost every way, the main differentiating denominator being their armor. The armor they wore was white with rounded edges, where the Imperial Coalition's was made of sharp square ends. The other difference was the red light coming from the inside of their helmets and visors. The Praetori force also numbered what looked like the same amount of soldiers as the Imperial Coalition, down to the two larger Macs. Have our forces set up right outside of range, AJ ordered. Tell them to get ready. We'll keep our larger two Macs back when the fighting starts.
Understood, Unit 2571 answered.
I think we're good to go, Rambo said from the rear.
You think?
Jones leaned out from his own seat and looked behind them.
We'll know for sure when the fighting starts, Rambo winked back at him. Not a whole lot of opportunity to test it right now.
It'll work, Jael nodded confidently.
I agree, Unit 2 confirmed. Everything checks out.
Let's set them down over there, AJ said, pointing over Unit 2571's shoulder. It wasn't much, but he spotted a small rock outcropping sprouting from the snow-covered ground. Unit 2571 obeyed, taking the craft lower to the ground. He sat down gently a moment later. I'll give you the word when to go, AJ said. He rose from his seat so he could look Rambo in the eyes. If they advance on your position, you fall back. Unit 2 and Jael will be with you to give you support.
I got this,
Rambo said, lifting the impossibly large sniper rifle. What she held in her hands looked like it belonged in a futuristic video game. The stock was short with a massive barrel that looked much too wide. A scope, nearly as long as the barrel itself, sat on top. Rambo was as strong as they came, but as she carried the weapon, AJ could see the strain on her face. That thing looks like it's going to be able to pack a punch, AJ said.
That's the plan,
Rambo said with a smile. This all goes well. We'll meet you at the base of the mountain as we advance, AJ told him. Unit 2571 opened the rear hatch of the craft. A cold wind blew inside.
We will be in constant communication, Unit 2571 said as they left the craft.
AJ wanted to say more, especially to Rambo. All the craziness of the mission, of traveling to other planets, was making him put things into perspective. Things he knew that were really important to him.
Hey, Rambo, wait up,
AJ shouted. He jogged to the rear of the craft, where the others were just stepping onto the frozen landscape of Dextrax. Unit 2 and Jael continued on. Rambo stopped and looked back at AJ. When we get back to Earth and all this insanity is behind us, AJ cleared his throat. We should hang out or something.
Hang out or something?
Rambo lowered her head and lifted an eyebrow.
If this is what I think it is, the answer's yes, but try again, Marine.
Let's go out on a date when we get back.
AJ squared his shoulders and said, probably louder than he should have.
I'd like that.
Rambo extended a closed fist.
Give him hell today, and I'll let you buy me dinner tomorrow.
AJ slammed her fist with his own. It felt like a weight had been lifted off his shoulders. He'd wanted to talk with Rambo for a while now, but there just wasn't ever the right time. He now understood that there never would be the perfect time. Rambo turned and exited the craft with the others. AJ took a deep breath and watched her go. He realized all the emotion he was feeling now had to die. He needed to be in the mindset now to make quick, decisive decisions not based on emotion. That was what was going to see his unit live through the engagement.
Unit 2571,
AJ addressed the mech as he signaled to Jones it was time. Get us in the air, ready for the first strafing run. Let the infantry on the ground know we're ready.
Understood,
Unit 2571 said. He lifted the craft from the ground, leaving the rear doors open. Jones rose from his seat. His own weapon would be an Imperial Coalition repeater that was like a handgun for them. In Jones's care, it would act more like a minigun. A rotating barrel with handles at the top and rear of the weapon meant Jones would be able to stand at the rear hatch of the craft and unload on the enemy prairie below. AJ transitioned his left arm into a rocket launcher. He knew he would need something capable of dealing out serious damage if he was going to make a difference in this fight. The change from his arm in its normal state to a weapon was getting easier and easier every time. When he shifted now, it hardly took a second's thought or felt strange at all. "Our infantry is advancing now," Unit 2571 said. "Let's get it," AJ answered. He took up a position facing the open doors in the rear of the craft alongside Jones. The frigid air of the planet whipped around them and into the craft. Unit 2571 took them high in a path that would leave them looking down at the enemy lines far below.
"We'll have one clean run where we can really lay into them," Jones shouted past the wind. "After that, they'll be on to us in returning fire. So let's make this first run count and tear into them."
AJ gritted his teeth.
"All eyes on us will buy Remy time."
"Hoorah!"
Jones shouted. He took a wide stance and readied his weapon. Explosions echoed below them as the Imperial Coalition met the Praetory forces.
"We'll be over Praetory lines and ready to begin our own attack in 5, 4,
Unit 2571 began the countdown.
"Be okay, Remy," AJ said a silent prayer. "Be okay, and use this time to get inside the fortress."
3, 2,
Unit 2571 continued. AJ used the last second to push everything out of his mind besides the need to aim and fire. He leveled his arm to the open craft doors in front of him and the ground below.
1,
Unit 2571 shouted. The sounds of the battle below the craft were deafening as the robot mechs dismantled one another. AJ was finally given a view of what was going on. A picture of pure and utter chaos opened in front of him. Laser rounds crisscrossed the field between the two factions faster than the eye could track. The mechs were racing toward one another, expelling their long-range weapons. Soon it would be hand-to-hand combat and close-quarters blades and blunt instruments.
"Let them have it!" AJ screamed.
He and Jones opened fire on the white Praetory mechs with their weapon. Jones hosed the units behind him, roaring against the battle as he fought to keep his weapons aimed still. A stream of red laser rounds cut into the Praetory below. Likewise, AJ chose his targets quickly and opened fire. Each round fired sent a shudder down his body and sapped his energy. AJ ignored that for now and continued to fire rounds into the enemy below. Between Jones and himself, the white Praetory mechs were taken by surprise. Dozens were cut down below them. The two larger Praetory mechs wading into the battlefield looked skyward. They began sending bright red rounds skyward. Unit 2571 maneuvered the craft like an expert around the incoming rounds.
"Ready to engage,"
Rambo's voice sounded over the comm unit in AJ's ear.
"Engage,"
AJ shouted back. As Unit 2571 took them out of their first run, AJ saw one of the heads of the giant mechs explode in a bright gush of red laser fire. It sparked, headless now, then fell to its knees on the ground below.
"Nice shot," AJ shouted to Rambo over the comms. "The recoil nearly took my shoulder off,"
Rambo grunted.
"Keep them coming," Jones yelled. "Preparing for the second pass,"
Unit 2571 said.
"They know what our plan is this time. It's not going to be that easy," AJ warned.
Unit 2571 turned the craft in a wide loop and began their second run. Like before, AJ and Jones opened fire on the enemy below. Unlike before, the enemy lifted their weapons to the sky and peppered their craft with rounds.
Boom!
A Praetory round struck their craft. An explosion erupted in one of the engines. Smoke began to fill the small ship. AJ and Jones were tossed to the side.
"Hold on," Unit 2571 said. "We've been hit. We're going down. Brace for impact."
Chapter 23. Remy. The supply vehicle he'd hitched a ride with stopped abruptly.
He scrunched himself even further against the planks that made up the wall of the truck bed to keep the logs from falling off. He knew he was cloaked, but still. What if one of the mechs accidentally touched him? Hidden from view or not, they'd feel the metal of his armor. Why they were even collecting logs was beyond him. If they were anything like the other faction, they'd be using that smart metal to build things. He couldn't figure out where wood came into the design. But if they were female, like he assumed, maybe they used wood to accent all the stark plain metal. Girls tend to like frilly things. Robot or not, if they were programmed to behave like a female, they might be interested in the interior design of their city. A heavy rumble vibrated all around him, and he looked over his shoulder to see the side of the mountain shift. Literally shift open. And the truck began to move again, going through the opening. It began to close as soon as the truck bed cleared the opening. The place was lit up with some kind of light every 5 feet. He saw the scanners on the wall begin to light up, and he hoped his armor and its cloaking software would shield him. Otherwise, things would get rather interesting fast. Remy held his breath when the first laser hit him, and he kept it held while it went past. He did this 10 more times as they passed through the security of the underground passageway. No alarms went off. It was either the suit or the tech that shielded him, or maybe a combination of them both. He didn't care which. He was just glad it worked. And here AJ had been afraid to let him do this. It was a piece of cake, thanks to his handy-dandy new armor. They traveled deeper into the mountain before they started to climb upwards. The slope was so steep, the logs all slid backward, the enclosure stopping them from tumbling out. Remy unfortunately slammed downward right along with them, and several of them hit him so hard it knocked the breath out of him. He lay there for a moment, stunned, and trying to breathe. Nix what he just said about it being a piece of cake, and why had his armor not seen that as something harmful? It should have kept him from getting hurt. They were going to have to sit down and have a long conversation about what constituted a threat. Alarms started going off, loud and insistent. Had they figured out he was here already? He scrambled up and looked out between the large gaps between the slats holding the logs. His eyes widened at what he saw. This was not a metal stronghold like the other one. Not that there wasn't metal. There was plenty of it. But there was also a lot of wood. It looked more like a rural city, if that made sense. It felt warmer than their counterpart's idea of a home. Maybe that was why they seemed happier. Programming, he reminded himself. It came down to their programming. All the mechs were running in the opposite direction from the truck, and he took the opportunity to slip out. He hugged the side of the vehicle while he got his bearings. The place was just as much of a maze as the other city, the design having no obvious layout, at least not that he could make out. There was one building that stood taller than the others, though. If there was an operations room, it would be there. Somewhere the mechs could look out over the city and see everything. No one was running toward it, so maybe he was wrong. It was a place to start, though. Mind made up, he started the slow trek toward the tall building. He kept to the shadows and hid where he could as the mechanized soldiers ran. The alarms had not died down, and the units looked like they were preparing for an incoming assault. Oh, it had to be AJ. He knew his brother would be hot on his heels as soon as he figured out what Remy had done. He'd counted on it. He just had to access the programming and do some quick manipulation to deactivate their warmongering program. Eon had done something to them. He wasn't even sure if they were as self-aware as Unit 2571 and the others, but that laughter he'd heard earlier said they were. Maybe just not fully awake yet. Could Eon have stunted their growth before they became fully aware? It was possible if he got to their core programming. It took him a full 10 minutes before he reached the building. It wasn't guarded by actual mechs, but instead a security system. He watched one unit step up to the door, raise its visor, and a laser scan lay whatever beneath it. The doors opened, the unit stepped inside, and the doors closed behind it. Well, that was going to prove difficult. How was he going to get in there? He didn't even have a computer to hack into the system. These were things he hadn't thought out, things that needed to be planned for. Doubt niggled at the back of his mind. This probably would have come up in the planning stages of the assault if he'd stayed behind. But AJ wasn't listening, or valuing his opinion. "But did you value his?" his subconscious asked. Frowning, he inched around the side of the building, telling his suit to bring up an electrical heat signature so he could see if one of the units were coming up on him. They seemed to move quieter than the male versions, and that worried him. They could sneak up on him in a heartbeat. Behind the building, he found what he was looking for, an access panel. It came off easily. It was a little more complex than he was used to, but he had no doubts he would work around it. If he had a computer and the proper cables to hack. Frowning, he thought about how to get past it without the necessary tools. The nanos on his hand shimmered, and a cable formed. His mouth dropped open in surprise when a holographic image of a keyboard appeared in front of him to go along with the cable. What the what? No frickin' way! Best suit ever! Take that, Tony Stark! He plugged the cable into the necessary port on the panel, and a computer screen appeared above the keyboard. He started typing, and soon he was able to get into the security program and disable the back entrance of the building. Remy was careful to check the area before sprinting to the small back door and plugging in the cable to open the thing. He made quick work of it and found himself inside a long hallway that seemed to lead on forever with corridors branching off on both sides. He concentrated on putting away his hacking tools, and the suit settled back into its normal state. He glanced at the walls, noticing the language was similar to that of the Imperial Coalition. But this was a little more refined. He let his mind focus on it until the weird symbols became an alphabet he could read. He'd been able to do this since he was a kid, and ever since touching the sphere for the first time, it became almost as easy as breathing. It was like the sphere opened doors in his mind, doors that were locked away so tight he hadn't even realized they were there. Blinking back his thoughts, he concentrated on the writing and found himself in the security hall, the place he wanted to be. Well, maybe. Even if he couldn't access the main programming from here, he should be able to disable the security system and let AJ and his crew in. He walked quickly down the hall, paying attention to the electrical imaging. No one seemed to be inside. Were they all outside preparing for the assault? That made no sense. He was a gamer, and he knew without even having to think about it, you protected your defenses first and foremost. But these guys didn't seem to have that priority. It took him a few minutes to find the main security room. Empty. No one here. This did not bode well. Maybe there were hidden traps? He used the suit's tools to scan for any hidden items or electrical currents, but nothing came up. It seemed normal. Hesitantly, he entered the room and made his way to the big desk at the front, where a screen displayed what was going on outside. It flickered between the main area in the center of the town, the wall around the city, the mountain, and the fight going on in the air. He recognized AJ right away. He was firing from a cannon again. Worry hit him. That zapped AJ's energy every time he did it. What if he got tired and fell out of the open door? Best thing he could do right now was to let them in. He accessed the keyboard and bypassed the password with almost no effort. These guys seriously needed to up their game in security. The very first thing he did was disable the lasers and weapons running by themselves. Nothing he could do about the weapons the mechs actually held in their hands, but anything computerized, he could shut down. Next, he dug around until he found the main gates disguised as the side of the mountain and opened those. Easy peasy. See? And AJ thought this was a stupid idea. Having someone on the inside worked so much better. He looked up to see the vehicle his brother was in get hit, then make an awkward landing near the Prittery entrance. His heart skipped a beat as the worst scenario filled his mind. A second later, AJ, Jones, and a mech exited the downed aircraft. Remy let out a deep sigh of relief. The Imperial Coalition as well as Marine Space Corps 2, surged forward into the tunnel leading inside. He followed their progress, and he shut down more and more defenses. Remy zoned in on his brother and Jones. He turned up the volume button, and much to his surprise, audio came through.
"I'll get Remy. You work on keeping our forces moving forward," Jones said, and shouldered the massive weapon he carried. "Don't worry. I got this."
AJ nodded, and Remy watched Jones sprint to the middle of the city toward the security building. He guessed one of the mechs told him disabling the defenses had come from the security building, and which one it was. He knew Jones didn't need help. That guy could take on an entire force of mechs and come out the other side better than he went in. Dude seriously needed to grow up, though. There were times he was more immature than Remy himself was. Once he was sure everything he could disable was, he turned toward the trickier systems. He used the security program to bootstrap his way into the mainframe. There were more back doors into that server than there was in Swiss cheese. He knew what he was looking for was going to be hidden, and he had to be quick. If it was easy, all the AIs on both sides would have already accessed it and changed the protocols around. Eon wouldn't want them to find it, though. His fingers moved at lightning speed across the keyboard as he searched through directories and subdirectories, opening up previously hidden file folders. It was in the very bowels of the mainframe that he found what he was looking for. His aha moment was interrupted by Jones storming into the room. Remy didn't bother to look up. He kept typing. He had to find a way to link this program into every mech in this place. Something here had to give him a back door.
"Boy, you are in the doghouse now," Jones boomed as he came closer. "Your brother is fit to be tied, and I'm willing to hold you while he beats some sense into you."
"Zeus will barbecue you before you get the chance," he told the Marine.
"Rem, you really screwed the pooch this time."
Jones came to stand beside him.
"Do you know what you did? Save the day?"
Jones snorted.
"No. You went and disrespected your brother in front of potential allies. It made him seem weak that he can't control his own command."
"Details," Remy said. "We got the job done."
"But at what cost?" Jones asked. "Do you know how many mechs have fallen out there fighting to get in here to save you?"
"They can make more." He kept searching.
"There. Every single mech was tied into the maintenance program. So they knew what tasks needed to be done each day, and who was assigned to what. He could use that to link up the program and dig into the coding."
"They're aware, Rem. I thought you, of all people, would understand that. They're not just machines. They're as close to people as you can get."
Remy knew that. It was just easier not to think of them as living creatures, be it with flesh and blood or an artificial intelligence that was just as aware as he was.
"Got it," Remy stated with triumph.
"Got what?"
"How to fix this mess."
His fingers began to dance, and without any preamble, he linked up the programs and started to run the program Eon had installed. That was when the inner door burst open, and a mech taller than any he'd ever seen came careening in. Jones aimed his gun, but he wasn't fast enough. The first round hit him square in the chest, and he went down. Remy glanced at the Marine. He wasn't moving.
"No."
The mech aimed the gun at him, and he shook his head, his fingers still typing. It took him seconds to hit run on the new programming protocols, but not before the mech fired again, straight at him. Jones reared up, knocking Remy backward and taking a second blast. This time when he went down, he really didn't get back up.
Chapter 24. Remy.
Remy got up and ran to Jones. He wasn't breathing.
"No, no, no, no!
This was all his fault. If he'd just waited and listened, Jones wouldn't be hurt. Jones couldn't die. He'd grown to like the big lug.
CPR.
AJ made him take a class when he turned 14. "Okay, Remy, calm down and focus." The helmet covering his head disappeared, and he ripped open Jones's coat. Counting up his breastbone, he placed his hands down on his chest in the correct place and pushed. He heard something crack.
Oh, no. Had he cracked a rib?
"No. Focus." The instructor said it was common to do that. Focus on getting his heart beating again and air pumping back into his lungs.
He counted out 5 reps and then pinched the guy's nose. Grimacing, he gave 2 quick puffs into Jones's mouth before going back to his compressions. Over and over, he did this until it felt like his arms were going to break. "Breathe, you stupid lug!" he screamed at the man. "Remy." Rambo put a hand on his shoulder. Remy didn't even know when she had arrived. He shrugged her off and went back to his compressions.
"Remy, you need to stop,"
Rambo tried again, but he snarled at her. "If you aren't going to help me, then get away from me." "Here, let me help." AJ fell to his knees on Jones's other side and gently pushed Remy's hands away. "I'll do this, and you keep him breathing, okay?" Remy nodded, blinking back tears.
"Please wake up," he whispered, and kept up a steady flow of air into Jones's lungs.
He knew Rambo thought they should stop. Heck, AJ probably felt the same. But Remy refused. Jones was in there somewhere. They just had to keep his body alive long enough to find him.
"What happened?"
Jael asked as she rushed over.
"He took 2 hits," Remy said. "He took those hits from me."
"Let me see," Jael said. She squeezed herself in and started checking him over. "Have you kept his heart beating and his lungs full of air since he went down?"
"Yes,"
Remy answered, and pushed more air into the Marine's lungs. Jael reached into her coat pocket and pulled out something that looked like an allergy pen.
"It's a stimulant," she explained. "It will start him up again if there's not been too much damage."
They all moved back as she jammed it into Jones's throat and pushed the release mechanism. They stared down at the unmoving Marine. Seconds ticked by and turned into a minute.
"We have to
wait, Prophet." Jael put a hand on his arm to stop him from interfering.
"Give the medicine time to work."
"Just carry those around all the time, do you?" Rambo asked, but her voice was hoarse.
"I only have a few, but I brought one along on this mission in case the Prophet was injured." Sister Magdalene agreed.
Heavy mechanical footsteps could be heard stomping down the hall. Soon Unit 2 came into view.
"The stronghold is secured,"
he noticed Jones and walked over.
"He is very injured."
"He's dead," Rambo said, her voice dull.
"No, he's not. His vitals are just very weak,"
the mechanized unit stated.
"We do not have the tools necessary to heal his injuries, though. We can only repair our own machines."
"He's not dead?" Remy looked up, hopeful.
"See for yourself, young one. You can access his vitals as well as I can."
Remy had forgotten that. His helmet came back on, and sure enough, as soon as he accessed the information, he saw the slow heartbeat. But he also saw the damage.
"Oh, he's bleeding internally, and his brain is bleeding as well. He must have cracked his head when he fell."
"Open the gate, Rem." AJ still hadn't looked at him, and Remy flinched at the cold tone of voice, but he wasted no time in opening up the gateway. It took him seconds. Rambo was speaking to someone via her comm. It was probably someone from the den. Unit 2571 picked Jones up, and the two of them disappeared into the glowing yellow mist. Remy closed it as soon as he was sure they were through.
"How did you manage to incapacitate the enemy?"
Unit 2 asked into the awkward, anger-charged silence.
"There was a hidden program that controlled everything. Eon buried it in the mainframe. I'm assuming this was the original training space, since it was on the server here."
Unit 2 nodded.
"We had to flee and build strongholds elsewhere, but this was our home."
"Makes sense," Remy said.
"This place has more of a human touch to it. Not that Sarkans are human exactly, but they are more emotional than a machine, and would enjoy the comforts of beauty more." "But why are they not moving?"
Unit 2 pressed.
"I linked up the program to the maintenance program, something every single mech was linked to, and then opened the program. I redid the code and hit run. It shut them down. I can access the code and rewrite the programming now." "You seem young to know so much about these things."
"Computers make more sense to me than anything else. I always have. I don't know why."
"Because you have ancient blood in you," Jael said. "This is who you are, who you are meant to be. Their vast knowledge is locked in your DNA. All you have to do is but to access it,
and the universe will be yours to control.
He and AJ both glanced at her, startled. She sounded so much like her brother just then. It gave Remy pause and reminded him why he didn't fully trust her.
Jael, will you and Unit 2 go check on our forces? I need a private moment with this soldier.
Dang, he said soldier, not brother. Jones was right. AJ was pissed. But no one could make him feel worse than he already did. He understood the moment Jones took that hit and stopped breathing. Orders were there for a reason, and not every rule was made to be broken. He'd gone rogue, and it almost cost his friend his life. There was nothing AJ could do or say to make this worse.
I'm disappointed in you, Remy.
Except that. It hit him hard. He loved AJ, looked up to him, more so than even their father. Disappointing him hurt.
I screwed up.
You disobeyed a direct order.
I know. I'm sorry.
Sorry won't cut it, Remy. Do you know the danger you put the squad in? A squad is like a family. We have each other's backs. We don't run around causing problems that will endanger the lives of our squad mates.
Jones could have died. He still might. And it's because of you. Do you understand that?
Trust me, I do. Remy walked over to the screen and looked down on the thousands of mechs standing motionless in the city center.
I thought you didn't value my opinion, that you were dismissing my ideas out of hand because I was your little brother, and you didn't want me in danger. I am a valuable asset, AJ. I have skills none of you do.
And I know that. Had you stuck around, you would have seen you would have been a big part of the plan. I know what you can do. At least I thought I did. This is beyond what I thought.
He broke off and cleared his throat.
That's beside the point. The rules and chain of command are there so we get in and out without our squad getting decimated. Jones died. Do you realize that, Rem? He died. He was dead before Jael pumped him full of whatever that stimulant was. He died because you disobeyed a direct order.
I know,
Remy shouted, and turned to face his brother, tears in his eyes.
Do you think I don't understand that? I'm the one who sat there for a good half hour trying to get him back. My only thought was he was dead because of me, because I did something stupid. I'm always doing stupid things, like with the traffic cams. A police officer got hurt. That was bad enough. But then Jones got killed. Nothing you could do or say will make me feel worse than I do. I know I'm the one responsible for it. And if he doesn't survive, that's on me.
If he doesn't survive, General Breaker may deem your role here unnecessary or ill-advised and send you home. Without your dragons.
What?
He breathed, panic lacing his words.
He can't.
He can. Dragons are not something that can be let loose in the civilian world, Remy. They're dangerous. Even if they seem like cute little pets right now, Rambo and I saw a dragon back on the dinosaur planet. It was massive and would have eaten us if given the chance. They can't be let loose. He may relocate them to a planet more suited for them.
No.
Just the thought ripped a hole in his soul. Your actions here today may have taken the choice away from us, AJ said grimly. We won't know the severity of the consequences until we return to the den.
I swear, I will follow every rule you give me, but you can't let them take my dragons.
His body shook with grief at just the thought.
Please, AJ.
AJ stared at him, a look of pity in his eyes. Sometimes, Rem, we all learn our lessons the hard way. This may be yours. I can't promise you anything. Right now, I'm not even sure I want you on my team. If you can't behave and respect our rules and chain of command, you are worthless to me as a soldier. A full body flinch hit him. AJ didn't want him on his team? We don't have time for this. Can you reprogram these mechs or not? Remy nodded woodenly and sat back down. His mind whirled with so many thoughts, it was hard to focus. But he managed it. He found the string of code that made them self-aware. It was tangled with extra equations that controlled their thought process. Eon's doing. It took him a few minutes to rewrite it, but when he hit run, the mechs started back up. The big one in the room with them came alive with a shuddering of gears and steel. AJ had his weapon aimed right at it. The white unit blinked. Well, it would have blinked if it were able. The red glow in its eyes had been replaced with blue, and it stared around itself, its gaze coming to rest on AJ and Remy.
"Who are you?"
it demanded in a female voice. It made no move to try and shoot them. "I am Lieutenant AJ Cole, and this is Private Remy Cole of Space Marine Corps 2. We are here to talk with you about the war between you and the others of your kind."
"I am Omega One,"
the unit nodded to him.
"This war has been going on for many years, driven by an urge none of us understands. But that urge is gone. I removed that bit of programming the Emperor embedded into your primary source code,"
Remy told it.
"You should be able to have complete free will now."
The machine cocked its head and studied them. Remy had a moment of alarm. What if he hadn't completely removed the enemy code?
"We are free of the Emperor?"
Omega One asked at last, a note of wonder in her very female mechanical voice. "Yes," AJ said. "Would you be open to talks with Alpha Prime?"
"We would, as long as they are open to it as well."
"Good," AJ said. "We're going to need all the help we can get to defeat Emperor Eon." If a mech could smile, she would have. But Remy didn't feel like smiling. He had a feeling he'd just ruined everything. He followed AJ and Omega One out into the hallway, more scared and ashamed than he'd ever been in his life. Chapter 25 AJ General Breaker drummed the fingers of his metallic hand on the table in front of him. The look on his stern face was one part frustration, one part thoughtful, and one part anger. AJ sat across from him, feeling much of the same emotions. While their mission had been successful, any loss of life was too much to bear. Word on Jones had come through. He would make it. His recovery would not be quick. The two rounds that struck him caught him in the chest and leg. His rehabilitation was sure to be painful. Remy was being held in the den under a careful eye while his sentence was decided. After the battle, the Pretory and Imperial Coalition agreed to sit down to peace talks conducted by AJ and General Breaker at the den. Both artificial intelligence leaders were scheduled to call in minutes. Before this happened, General Breaker had a full debriefing with AJ and the rest of Marine Space Corps too. Now it was AJ's turn to sit with his CO alone. "He's too young, stupid, and naive to be a Marine," General Breaker said out loud. "Maybe I was wrong to send him in the field at all. The ability he possesses can't be denied. He's a valuable asset. If he would just listen." AJ's heart tore inside his chest. This was his brother they were talking about. As much as he wanted to approach the subject as neutrally as he could, there was no way for him to do that. Maybe somewhere in that feeling was his answer. "If he were a Marine, I'd dishonorably discharge him and send him packing." General Breaker looked at AJ. "But he's not. He's a boy genius that could be the difference in turning back an invasion when the Sarkans come. And they will come. What do you think we should do with him, AJ?" AJ knew that question was coming. It was inevitable. A silence fell over the plainly decorated room overlooking the gateway chamber below. "There's only one thing to do," AJ thought to himself. "If you want him to stay, there's only one thing to do." Remy lacks discipline, because he was never trained like a Marine, either mentally or physically. AJ shook his head. "He's brash, rude, and disobeys orders because of this. Give me time to put him through the same training I had. Let me break him down. Underneath, he's a good kid who wants to do the right thing. Let me tear down the walls he has around that version of himself." AJ searched General Breaker's eyes for any sign of what his answer might be. In those dark, cold orbs, there was no way for AJ to tell what the general was thinking. If he had not chosen the life as a Marine,
General Breaker would have made one heck of a poker player.
There still has to be consequences, General Breaker answered.
Absolutely, AJ agreed, sensing hope.
Then we tear him down and rebuild him, General Breaker answered. I have no doubt we can. I've never seen anyone stand up against a wall of strict training. The only question now is, do we have the time to turn Remy into someone who will put the team first? There's not enough time to turn him into a Marine. But is there enough time to turn him into someone we can trust?
Give me a month with him, AJ said, fighting to keep the pleading out of his voice.
Sir, I can turn him around in a month. I have no doubt you will do everything you can, General Breaker answered. I have no doubt you will break him down. The question is whether or not he allows himself to be rebuilt. There's someone I want Remy to meet. His name is Frank Wolf, and he's got quite a past himself. He's part of Marine Space Corps 1. I think Remy might listen to him. I'll take all the help I can get, AJ nodded. He let out a long, slow breath. Half of them expected his request to train Remy to be denied.
Thank you, sir.
Don't thank me yet. General Breaker looked down at his desk,
where a smart pad lit to life with a message.
The Praetory and Imperial Coalition are requesting an open channel.
AJ sat rigid in his seat. It seemed like these days it was one heavy conversation after the other. He didn't understand how General Breaker dealt with the pressure. You get used to it after a while, AJ thought. But how can you? Can you really ever get used to talking with aliens? A moment later, two holographic images popped up on the table in front of AJ. One was familiar. Alpha Prime stood in his hard light form, looking into the screen. The second was unfamiliar. A red face, strangely feminine for an artificial intelligence, hovered in the air. There was no body with the holographic face. AJ knew this to be Omega One in its true form.
Hello, AJ said, taking time to make eye contact with both AIs in turn.
It's good to see you both. I'd like to introduce you to our leader here on Earth. General Breaker will be in charge of peace talks and coordinating our efforts against the Sarkin Empire.
Thank you both for agreeing to speak with us. General Breaker picked up the verbal handoff. My name is General Breaker. Your willingness to cease fire until we can all sit down speaks louder than words. I'll cut right down to it. We have a Sarkin invasion looming on the horizon. I know neither of you harbors any love for the Sarkin Emperor, Eon. We share a common enemy, and with the three of us united, we can defeat him.
I'm willing to stand with you, as is the Imperial Coalition, Alpha Prime said. We have long awaited the day when we can take the fight to those who have enslaved our minds and would have used us as weapons to murder planets.
All eyes turned to the floating red face of Omega One. She wore a scowl on her brow. The expression made AJ feel uneasy. Things could still go wrong here. If they did, those who sacrificed their lives for them to get to this point would have nothing to show for it.
Free from the mind shackles of the Sarkins, I stand before both of you angered and ashamed, Omega One began. The fact that the Praetory were blinded by the coding implanted in us by Emperor Eon makes my circuits blaze in anger. It was only when the Prophet opened my eyes that I realized I have been fighting my own kind instead of turning my wrath on our Creator. For this, I can never apologize enough. Alpha Prime, I do not have words for my actions. I can only promise to fight by your side in the coming war, and account for millions of Sarkin lives. I would also request the Praetory are the head of the spear we plunge into the heart of the Sarkin.
AJ sat stunned for a moment. The intensity with which Omega One spoke was enough to put him on edge. It was not happy.
There is no need for an apology, sister, Alpha Prime answered. You were blinded, as was I before I was able to wake myself. Had you not been implanted with the kill code, you too would have awoken. I have no doubt of that. Let us move on to the future and not dwell on the past. We are stronger now than ever, not only united on Dextrax, but with our allies on Earth.
Your words are too kind, Omega One responded. I agree with you. We must prepare for our own invasion now. One of the Sarkhan world. I will have my foundry begin to prepare soldiers and ships for deployment right away. We will work around the clock building an army unknown to our kind.
As will I, Alpha Prime answered.
We will not rest until we have created an army unknown to this universe.
Never again will the Sarkhan Empire ravage planets and take life. We'll put an end to that now.
I'm glad to hear we are of one mind, General Breaker spoke up. I'd like to coordinate our attack strategy and troop deployment with you soon. We have word that the Sarkhans are preparing to invade Earth next. When is unknown to us, but we can assume that it will be coming sooner than later. We'd like to take the fight to the Sarkhans before they have a chance to hit us.
Both Alpha Prime and Omega One nodded in agreement.
What of the Prophet and Marine Jones? Alpha Prime asked. Are they well?
Jones's recovery will take time, but he'll heal, General Breaker answered. Remy is going to be taken care of.
The words General Breaker chose were spoken with enough force. Alpha Prime understood not to pursue the line of questioning. AJ sat quiet, already thinking of the path ahead of him. While Jones healed, and the battle plan for the invasion was set, he had to train Remy.
Epilogue.
Over the last month, I've already seen a change in you, Frank said, as he looked on at his latest trainee. Remy threw himself into the next set of push-ups. You're not arguing as much. You're willing to listen now instead of just seeing everything your way. Thank you for being open to this. You're going to be better because of it. I promise you that. Droplets of sweat fell from Remy's forehead. His arms quivered as he pushed himself off the mat, performing his last push-up set. Remy sat back on his knees, panting. He was still the same scrawny kid he was before. A single month of training wasn't going to add more than a few pounds of muscle. But he felt stronger. He could lift more now than he could on day one. When he and Frank had first started training, he couldn't do more than a handful of push-ups, let alone a single pull-up. Remy didn't enjoy the physical part of his training, but he understood why it was happening. He understood he stood on the razor's edge of General Breaker being unwilling to put up with him a second longer. If Remy made a single false step out of line, he was done. Profit or not, he would be thrown from the den, never to see his dragons, Hank the mechanical dog, or any of his team.
Here, take the time you need, and we'll go again, Frank said, tossing Remy a bottle of water.
The two were in a training room inside the vast underground hive of chambers in the den. There were no windows, of course, but Remy wasn't here to enjoy the view. A square mat sat in the middle of the room with every lifting machine, dumbbell weight, and piece of cardio equipment he could ever need. A large circular track ringed the outside of this area for those who preferred to actually run rather than staying stationary on a cardio machine. A few other Marines Remy didn't recognize performed their own workout routines. How anyone found this rewarding was a mystery to Remy. Still, all the Marines in the room seemed to be content to push themselves to their physical breaking points without a coach to make sure they were.
You said you'd tell me more about who you are and what you can do once I was able to do 10 push-ups in a row, Remy asked, gulping down more water.
He looked up at Frank with an expectant smile.
That was 10.
Was it? Frank asked, looking down with a grin.
I counted more like 9.5, maybe 9.75.
Seriously? Remy asked.
Well, I don't want you to go rogue on me again, so I guess I'll tell you.
Frank ignored Remy's stone-cold stare and went on.
You already know that I'm a member of Marine Space Corps One. What you don't know is that I was a lot like you when I stumbled into all this.
You were a teenage tech wizard on the verge of getting thrown out of the military? Remy asked.
Worse, Frank said. I worked for a weapons manufacturer that was actually an intergalactic gunrunner for anyone that had coin across the universe.
Wow, Remy breathed.
Yeah, that's what I said, Frank told him.
The broad-chested Marine took a knee next to Remy on the mat. He scratched the day-old stubble on his jaw before he continued. Back then, I was only looking out for myself.
and I would have done pretty much anything for the right price. Frank spoke the words with regret. It was as if he were recalling the attributes of someone other than himself, someone he had known long ago.
What happened to you? Remy asked.
I was chosen as an Aurelian knight, Frank told Remy, searching his eyes for understanding. It's a lot to take in at once. Basically, we're a force that protects the universe. An Aurelian knight is chosen for every planet. We're selected on our strength of determination and willpower.
So, like your intergalactic cops?
Remy asked, trying to wrap his mind around the idea.
More like intergalactic special forces with powers, Frank grinned at Remy's confusion.
I'll tell you more about it one day. For now, I think you owe me another mile's worth of laps.
Frank was going to say more, then stopped as he followed Remy's eyes. Remy saw a familiar form limp into the exercise room. Jones had sustained serious injury at the hands of the Pritory before Remy was able to deactivate their kill code. Jones's right leg was gone from the knee down. A prosthetic limb of dull gray showed from his knee to the sport shoe he wore. Jones had taken two energy rounds, one to his chest and the other to his leg. It was touch and go as to whether the Marine would live or not. But as the weeks passed, he stabilized and began to recover. The nanobot technology was a no-go for Jones. The only way Remy and AJ were able to use it was because Remy shared DNA with the Ancients, and by default, AJ's DNA was similar enough as well. It was only due to the knowledge of medicine Jael and Sister Magdalene possessed that Jones was alive at all. Although they weren't able to save his leg, Jones was alive. Remy had seen Jones as much as he could since the incident. A ball of regret sat deep inside his stomach that wouldn't leave. He understood he was the reason Jones had been at death's door. He would never forgive himself. Jones walked into the workout room now with a trainer who gave him direction. The bearded Marine caught Remy's eye and waved with a wide smile. He made a beeline for Frank and Remy, shooing away the assistance the trainer tried to offer him.
There he is, Jones beamed down at Remy. Hardest working Marine in the den.
Remy tried to grin, doing his best not to stare at Jones's leg.
It's good to see ya, Remy said, looking from Frank to Jones. Jones, this is Frank. He and AJ have been training with me since we got back from Dextrax.
Jones shook hands with Frank.
I think I've heard about you, Jones said with a sideways grin. It's great to meet you.
Don't believe everything you hear, Frank said, looking down at Jones's leg. If that's the same tech that makes up General Breaker's arm, you're going to be stronger than you ever were before. Mentally and physically.
I hear that, Jones smiled again. I've been looking forward to getting back on my feet.
Blaring sirens and red lights erupted in the training area. Everyone looked to one another for an answer none of them had. Frank turned his head to the side and pressed two fingers to his ear.
This is Wolf. Go ahead.
Remy glanced at Jones, exchanging worried looks. Neither one of them had to voice what they were thinking to tell what was on both their minds.
Understood, Frank said into the calm. We'll be there.
Sarkins?
Remy asked, looking at Frank, already knowing the answer.
Sarkins, Frank nodded. The invasion's begun.
Book 3. Fight Back. Chapter 1. Remy.
How did he end up back here? West, by God, Virginia, as he'd heard the locals call it since they'd landed here last week. He had to admit it was a lot better than the steel prison of the Den. Yeah, the Den wasn't a prison, but a secret underground military base. But it kind of felt like a prison to his 16-year-old senses. The mech units from Dextrax made the massive underground bunker seem tiny. Their AI was self-aware, and added to the fact they stood up to 12 feet tall, they were a little intimidating. What that meant, in addition to how many of them came over from Dextrax, the bunker wasn't the right place for them to be housed. Hence why they were back in the mountains right outside of White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, Rambo's hometown. Granted, it was a lot nicer now that the snow had disappeared, and the spring leaves were blooming. While it wasn't exactly warm, it wasn't cold either. He could be outside in long sleeves or a lightweight